King.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
You're listening to the new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hour number two of the Sports Hangover, sponsored by 511 by Carl Malone, 6601 Veterans Boulevard. We want to welcome them to the Sports Hangover family. And Jordan, the intern, as always, my tag team partner for one more day, as Gus Kattengill will be returning tomorrow. And Jordan, you guys are going to be in Raceland at the El Paso Mexican Restaurant. 4560 Highway 1 in Raceland. So if you are in the Raceland area tomorrow, stop on by, put the headsets on, give Gus and Jordan your takes on Pelicans, LSU, Saints, whatever you want to talk about. They'll be happy to talk about it with you. And, of course, Thursday, as always, we're at Vinny's over there on Ridgelake. And Friday we will be at 511 by Carl Malone on 6601 Veterans Boulevard. Big win by the Pelicans last night, 133-109. Daniel Salerson gave us a lot of good takes on what he saw yesterday. And, Jordan, you've got some news on the game Wednesday against the Chicago Bulls that you can hear right here on ESPN 100.3 FM.
Yeah, ESPN actually listed Brandon Ingram, Drew Holiday, and Lonzo Ball as out for tomorrow's game.
And I don't think that's going to be anything to do with injury-related. I think this is just a way of getting Frank Jackson, getting Walker Alexander, getting those guys some extra minutes because you are so deep. One of the things we talked about, Alvin's going to have a lot of difficult decisions to make on this team because you've got we saw yesterday there's 15 guys, and you didn't even see guys like Big B Williams come in. So you want to get these guys on the end of the bench some time. So I would venture to say you're going to probably from here on out every game see a combination of maybe three different guys taking a seat to give some of these younger guys some time.
Yeah, I mean, if you watched the game and watched Nickeil Alexander-Walker, I mean, just like I was saying earlier, the confidence that he had in his shot and just running to the hole, I mean, I think that definitely speaks volumes to the whole coaching staff and the players on the court, even the young ones, because it shows that if he can do that, then I can do that also. So, I mean, I think giving him more time, get him acclimated with the system, because Drew Holiday's already been here for a long period of time, so he kind of knows how he wants things to run. But just getting Gnaw out there and getting him used to the pace of the game, I think, is going to actually help him in his progression along his career.
Man, considering last year when Anthony Davis was here, how thin that bench was, to have these kind of problems this year, it's really nice to see. I know, Jordan, in the last segment we were talking about LSU and Florida. They're going to hook up at 7 o'clock in Tiger Stadium, the renewal of that rivalry. But there's another rivalry that is one of my favorites to watch, and it is exactly that this year because there's so much on the line because of LSU and Alabama, and that's the Texas-Oklahoma game. LSU having going to Texas and beaten the Longhorns there. Well, now Texas and Oklahoma hook up in the Red River rivalry on Saturday at 11 o'clock. You can see that game, I believe it's going to be on ABC, usually has it on, but that's a 11 o'clock in the morning kickoff. But there's so many implications concerning LSU, not only playoffs, but also the Heisman, because to me, Jalen Hurts has got to be, with Joe Burrow, one of the favorites to win the Heisman. I think Trevor Lawrence kind of played himself out with that close win against North Carolina where he didn't put up, you know, really good numbers. I think it's kind of fallen down to three people: Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama, Joe Burrow. Those two guys are going to hook up head-to-head later in the year. There's going to be a lot on the line with that game, not only, you know, SEC championship implications, but also the Heisman for those two guys. But I think this game with Oklahoma-Texas has a lot of Heisman implications because Burrow's already played this Texas defense, and he has already shown what he can do against the Texas defense. I know we've had a lot of fun beating up on Texas because every Louisiana team has hammered the Texas teams, including LSU's win over the Longhorns. But now we have to pull for the Longhorns because if Jalen Hurts goes over there and maybe doesn't have quite as good of a performance as Burrow did when he played Texas, I think that's going to be huge for Joe in the Heisman race. Look, Jalen Hurts played Kansas and Les Miles last week, and he didn't have they scored 45, but, I mean, in past years, Oklahoma would go in there and beat Kansas 63-0. Les Miles and Kansas actually played Oklahoma pretty good. They lost 45-20. I know that spread was over 30-some-odd points. I want to say it was 33 points. Kansas was able to cover that spread. But if Texas is able to play this Oklahoma team pretty close, I think that would be huge for Joe Burrow and LSU.
Yeah, I mean, is the game at Oklahoma or is it at...
They always play at the Texas Fair, so it's going to be in Dallas. It's basically on a neutral site. So that gives Burrow a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, that definitely gives Burrow a little bit of an edge because what he was able to do early in the season, you know, LSU not as much in the system or what kind of ball they want to play.
It was their second game.
Yeah, it was their second game, so they weren't really... didn't know what kind of scheme that they wanted to play in. So I think that also gives Joe Burrow the advantage. Now you have Oklahoma, who's had enough games to get into the...
I want to say five or six
games to get into the right system that they want to play. So, I mean, the edge, what Joe Burrow was able to do at the very beginning of the season against a top 10 team in the NCAA, I think that definitely speaks volumes to his Heisman run.
As much as it pains me to say this, I'm going to have to pull for Texas in that game because, you look, there's a lot of national championship implications. LSU, I really believe at worst, I think they'll run the table. I think they're going to be able to handle Auburn, both the Mississippi teams. I think they'll get payback against Texas A&M later in the year. I think it comes down to that LSU-Alabama game. I think the same can be said for Alabama. I expect both those teams to be undefeated. I think both of those teams will run the table after they meet up against each other. But that game is going to put somebody in the SEC championship. I have not been impressed with Georgia. Tennessee changed quarterbacks last week. Jared Garantano has not been playing well. They went to their backup, Brian Mara, and they went toe-to-toe with Georgia in the first half. And it wasn't until late in the second half when Georgia's depth kind of took over and they were able to get away from Tennessee and beat them handily. But having watched that game this past Saturday and having watched Georgia the week before beat a ho-hum Notre Dame team that I have not been impressed with, I don't think Georgia is as good as they've been in past years. I don't know if they're going to be able to stand up to LSU or Alabama. So I think the winner of the LSU-Alabama game, I think they will represent the SEC. So where does that leave the loser? You've got the Pac-12. You can forget about the Pac-12. They're out. They don't have anyone who's going to be able to get into the playoffs. But if you're the loser of the LSU-Alabama game, you're looking for someone to lose. And the ACC, when you look at that conference with Clemson, it's hard to believe that Clemson's going to lose the game, even though they almost lost to North Carolina. If I were to ask you right now, who's the biggest threat to Clemson? Can you even name a team? I looked at it and I couldn't name one. I mean, you're talking about a Florida State team that struggled. North Carolina's nothing to write home about. I think Clemson's going to run the table, even though they don't seem to have the same team that they had when they won the national championship. I know a lot of people thought they were going to be better. I don't think Clemson's going to lose, so I think they're going to be in the playoff system. Ohio State, I think they played their toughest game this past week against Michigan State, and they beat them fairly easy. I'm not bought in on Michigan. If Jim Harbaugh is going to beat Ohio State, he's going to have to prove it to me because I have no faith in Michigan. I know a lot of people are saying Wisconsin might be a team that could do some damage, but I just don't think Wisconsin can stand up to Ohio State. That puts them in. So the only team left is Oklahoma and the Big 12 champion. I don't see a one-loss Texas team. If they were to run the table, they're going to have to play each other twice. Oklahoma and Texas will meet this Saturday. They'll probably meet in the Big 12 championship. So you're hoping for a split, But even if Texas were to sweep both of those games, I can't see, even if LSU loses to Alabama, and that's their only loss, I can't see a one-loss Texas team having lost to LSU getting in above LSU.
I mean, yeah, I agree, but it's all about that Alabama game and if it's a close game. So I think if LSU keeps it close with Alabama and if they do lose, I think LSU will have that spot over Texas.
So what do you say close? I mean, you're talking 14 or less, or you're talking inside of a score?
I'm talking like inside 10, 14 points.
Because, I think even if LSU, and you're right, I guess it depends on how the game plays out. If Alabama jumps out to a 21-point lead, and then the team seesaw back and forth, and it ends up being 21, but it really wasn't a close win, I could maybe see the committee saying, okay, well, let's give Texas another shot because they lost early in the year. They've gotten better since then. Maybe they deserve another chance. But,
and if it's like the game that LSU had last year, which I don't think it's going to be against Alabama, then I definitely think that Texas is going to be in that spot if it comes down to that.
Best case scenario, I guess, would be for Texas to win this game and then Oklahoma to come back and beat Texas in the championship game. That way Texas would have two, Oklahoma would have one, and I think that would kind of give LSU the right. Look, all this is we don't have to even worry about this if LSU goes out there and beats Alabama.
You just have to do your job.
Easier said than done, because the Tide has had the Tigers' number, but I just, right now, the way LSU's playing, and again, that defense, having played its best game, I know it was Utah State, but when you consider Vanderbilt's offense went up and down the field and scored on LSU's defense, to go up against a quarterback that many are projecting in the middle of the first round and Jordan Love at Utah State, to shut down that offense the way they did, I think the Tigers' defense, Dave Aranda's got them headed in the right direction. I'm really curious to see how they stack up against Florida. I know Todd Grantham's going to throw some things at the Tigers this week that try to confuse Joe Burrow, but I just don't think they can match up against that LSU receiving core. And hopefully Joe Burrow can put together some unbelievable numbers, because I don't understand why this kid's not getting the attention. I looked at a mock draft today, and it's the first mock draft that I've seen that doesn't have the Saints draft in a quarterback. They actually had the Saints draft in a wide receiver, this one. But that draft, that mock draft was put out after the LSU-Utah State game, and this reporter still had Utah State's Jordan Love going in the first round, and I've yet to see a mock draft that has Joe Burrow going in the first round. I know Gus one time told us.
I saw one, I think, on ESPN or CBS that had, I think it was CBS, had Joe Burrow going at 12th to the Tennessee Titans.
12th? I haven't seen that one, but that would be interesting, going and figuring that maybe Tennessee's giving up on Marcus Mariota. But that's going to be a good game to see, the LSU-Florida game this week. Got some good college matchups, of course, USC-Notre Dame. I know USC's been down, but the rivalries are kind of starting now that we're getting into the meat of football. And actually, we got football weather. This weekend, we actually have football weather.
I stepped out the house.
70 degrees.
I stepped out the house this morning. I'm like, Jesus.
Well, 70 degrees is going to be Saturday. That's actually, the high is not going to break 80. We're going to break 80 today. But if it's the first time you walked out your house, you go, wow, it's not hot.
It's not hot. It feels good. No, it doesn't feel like there's like
It's actually
humidity.
October.
Yeah. Hope it's like that for the LSU game. I'm going to be out there tailgating.
So. You're going to be out there. So, yeah, you got some beautiful weather for Saturday. Sports Hangover sponsored by 5-Eleven Karl Malone. We're going to be there Friday. They've got a sale, 20% off everything in the store. Come on by and take a look. They've got, when you are there, you will see the quality in the clothing over there. They've got some of the best in class pants, like Apex, Defender Jean, some of the most comfortable boots you'll ever put on your feet. Come by, take a look at them. Wide selection of tactical bags and accessories. I was over there yesterday. They serve Black Rifle coffee. Come in, have a free cup, take a look around at the store. It's a coffee that was made by a military person who gives back to the military. You can buy the Black Rifle coffee while you're there. Go on by, take a look at it. Top quality, 5-Eleven, Karl Malone, 6601 Veterans Boulevard. Quick break, and when we come back, Tim Rebo, coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, coming off that big win this week, is going to join us, and we're going to talk about his big upcoming game this week on the Sports Hangover, ESPN New Orleans.
Are you ready to check out the latest innovations from 5.11 by Karl Malone? 5.11 is committed to making the best gear used by those who demand the most. A large selection of award-winning packs and bags and industry-leading pant designs. 5.11's got you covered. Try our best-in-class pants like Apex or Defender jeans, or walk in a pair of our most comfortable boots that perform in the harshest environments. Build the ultimate bug-out bag with our tactical bags and accessories at 5.11 by Karl Malone, 6601 Veterans Boulevard. Always be ready.
Hello, friends. I am Jerry Trug Gisclair, a candidate for state senator. I am prepared to continue my commitment to public service after nearly three terms as a state representative. My constant efforts will always be dedicated to supporting our seafood industry, as well as the oil and gas industry, coastal restoration projects, and ensuring proper funding levels for our public education system. I am a proud United States Air Force Vietnam vet. On October 12th, please vote for number 59. Jerry Trug Gisclair for Senator. Paid for by Jerry Gisclair Campaign.
LaFouche Ford has been part of our community for years. They have stayed committed to giving you great deals, competitive parts and pricing, and service after the sale. Through the years, they have supported your kids, your grandkids, your schools, your churches, and even your events. So help them to continue to support you. And remember, before you buy, give LaFouche Ford a try. Wishing all of our area football teams the best season ever.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe's Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe's Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe's Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
If you're considering buying or selling a home, here's what people are saying about Pat Pennison of Ladder and Bloom Real Estate in Houma. He is responsive to clients' expectations. Pat really understands the market. Pat Pennison can help you develop pricing strategy to maximize earnings. He can also help you navigate through the sales process. Pat Pennison of Ladder and Bloom Real Estate in Houma, there's a name you can trust. Call 985-791-4952 if you're considering buying or selling a home.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. Jay Hardgrave pinch hitting for Gus Kattengill today on ESPN New Orleans, your flagship station for the Nicholls State Colonels. And we're happy to welcome in Coach Tim Rebo to the show today. Coach, thanks for giving us a little bit of your time. I know it's really busy in the week getting ready for a game, and we appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your busy schedule to talk to us.
Hey, my pleasure, man, especially coming off of last week's game. It's always good to be on.
Well, it was a big bounce-back win for you guys, 34-14 over Central Arkansas. You go in up 20-0 at halftime, but it wasn't all good news. Leading wide receiver Dijon Dixon, he had five catches for 140 yards, but he goes down with an injury. How is he doing? Can you give us an update on his condition?
No, he's fine, man. He's getting checked out. He'll be day-to-day. We got to make a decision if he'll go this weekend.
But he may be able to go?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good news, because I was concerned that maybe that might be a long-term injury. But, you know, you're up at 20-0 at halftime, and Central Arkansas comes out. They go down the field. They convert a couple of third downs on you, and they end up scoring a touchdown. They make the score 20-7. You guys bounce right back. Chase Fourcade leads the Colonels right back down the field. He hits Jordan Talley, the tight end, for a touchdown to go up 27-7. And you guys just took control of the game from that point, it seemed like.
Well, I was really pleased the way we played in the first half. I mean, anytime you can, against an outstanding opponent, UCA, you know, ranked number 10 in the country, and pitch a shutout in the first half, man, hats off to the defense. And then offense got us three scores. They came back in the second half, and they had deferred, so they got the ball to start the second half. Went down a few. We had a big 3rd and 9. We lost contain. We should have got off the field, and we didn't. They went ahead and scored. And actually, the next series, two plays later, we threw an interception. So they had a chance. They got the ball right back, and the defense came out and got a huge stop. forced a punt, then we went down the field and scored and took control of the game the rest of the second half.
Coach, your defense was able to get pressure on their quarterback all game long. Was that something y'all saw on film?
Yeah, our defense has been playing ever since number 55 returned for Sully Lesh. The defense has been improving every week. We thought we can maybe get a couple matchups up on the front and force some pressure, but we knew we had to play well up front. They had a really, really good running back in Carlos Blackman, and the quarterback, he is just an outstanding job. We had to put some pressure on him, and our guys did a good job of that.
On the other side of the ball, you had 10 different receivers with catches in that game after losing your leading receiver, Dijon Dixon. This was just a complete team effort by your Colonels.
Well, it's good. You know, Chase Fourkett has been doing an outstanding job of spreading the ball around. And every week he's getting more and more confident in other receivers. You know, they're staying after practice. They're getting on the same page. We got some guys that got to step up. So, you know, for us, it's really good because it makes the defenses, you know, a little bit harder for them when you can spread the ball around and get it to not only just our wideouts, but we've got our tight ends involved and our running backs also. So those guys did a good job. And for us, it's really truly the next man up mentality. You got to be ready to go.
You know, Coach, we had talked about your defense getting pressure all day long, but that's one of the things we always talk about in sports is how a team handles adversity. And your defense comes out, Central Arkansas is able to get a score on the board, but you bounce right back. That says something about the character of your players. You talked about Chase Fourcade being one of those leaders on the offensive side of the ball. Who are your big leaders on the defensive side of the ball, the guys that can rally the troops once something bad happens and get the team back on track?
Well, I think it's a guy who's been doing it all along. It's senior leader Alan Pittman at the linebacker spot. And not just, you know, when things are going bad. He's been fantastic when things are going good, too, getting the guys to play together and understand. They were on a little mission last week and this week. I thought last week we played pretty good against Texas State, where we, you know, limited them to 3 points in the first half, and we were playing better. And those guys knew they had to step up. And the thing that I think really happened this week is we really played complementary football. And that's big where, you know, offense and defense and special teams all playing together and helping each other out.
You know, I think that's one of the things that is so underrated in football, what you just said, Coach, is teams playing complementary football. A lot of fans don't understand that, but you know, we see that with LSU, how they sped their offense up, and it's kind of hurt the defense a little bit, where you sometimes have to be able to give those guys a rest. The offense can't just keep going out there and getting those three and outs, and the defense gets frustrated, and they just sat down, they just grabbed the water bottle, and all of a sudden, grab your helmets, we're back out there on the field. That's so important today, and I think it's so overlooked by people who just don't understand, you know, if our punter can pin the team deep and it gives our defense a chance as opposed to we shank a punt and we put the defenses back up against the wall. You guys just seem to have that down at Nicholls State. You do that game in and game out that you guys play as a team, and that's something that starts with the coaching staff.
I agree. It starts with the coaching staff. We offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, we got to be on the same page. You know, little things that people don't know. We're on the phone constantly during the game. All three of us also saying, hey, what do you think? Can we go for it here? How many downs here? We really, really work together. But, you know, offensively, you want to score every time you touch the ball, obviously. But, you know, sometimes, it doesn't happen that way. But, you know, it's about moving the chains. You can get a couple first downs and change that field position on the other side. And defensively, you want to go three and out. It doesn't happen all the time either. But, you know, they'll get that big stop at the right time. You know, college football, you should go look at the scores over the weekend. Just look in the Southland Conference. I mean, high-scoring games is meant to be an offensive game nowadays, 38-36, 34-31. And, you know, we're right there with scoring 34 points, but we got a couple of stops on defense, and that's the big difference.
You know, Coach, this week you turned to a Northwestern team that LSU fans are a little familiar with. I think the LSU Tigers kind of took them for granted, and Northwestern, they walk into this game against you 0-5, but this is a team that stood right up to LSU and punched them in the mouth, and they came to play, and they had LSU fans talking to themselves at halftime. This is a team that's a lot better than their 0-5 record.
Well, it's a rivalry game. It's an in-state game. Coach Brad Laird does an outstanding job. Those guys are tough. They got some outstanding players. They just didn't bounce their way in the first couple games. They did not play last week. They had an open date. They had a bye. Those guys are going to be fresh every time we play them. Again, our guys are not going to look at the record. I promise you that. They'll just look at their opponents, look at the guys at the matchups across from the ball. They understand how big this game is. We got them here. Ever since I've been here, the four games we played have been really close games and been a battle. So we expect nothing less this weekend.
You know, Coach, as we always say, I mean, it's kind of a cliche, but you could almost say, I say this a lot, anybody asks me what's the key to the game, it's winning the trenches and it's taking care of the ball. Is that the same thing that goes for this game this weekend?
I think it's the same. It's the same every weekend. We always feel like we got to win it up front. We got to be able to run the football on offense so we can be able to throw it, and we got to be able to stop the run on defense. And if you can do that, you have a lot of success. Move the chains, keep the ball out the other team's hand, and they are not a big turnover team. They've done a good job of protecting the football. So, you know, we're going to have to do a good job to try to be on the plus side of that and get those things in our favor this week.
So that game is going to be at 3 o'clock at John Guidry Stadium. So anyone out there looking for something to do on Saturday at 3 o'clock, good game going on between Northwestern and Nicholls State. Coach, we wish you the best of luck. Got a feeling things are going to work out good for you guys this week. Y'all, again, having a heck of a year, and you've done a heck of a job with this team. And we thank you for your time, Coach.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I'd like to see everybody come out to Guidry, man. The weather's going to be nice, good football, and come support the home team. Appreciate it.
How much fun is that going to be to coach in a game that's going to be 70-degree weather as opposed to 95?
I don't know. I don't know what that's like. It seems like we forgot about that. So we'll find out today. It's beautiful outside today. We're going to hit the practice field a little bit, so it should be nice.
All right, good luck Saturday, Coach. We appreciate it. Coach Tim Rebo from the Nicholls State Colonels. We're going to take a quick break here on the Sports Hangover. Hour number two sponsored by 5-11 Carl Malone. Purpose-built gear for life's most demanding moments. 6601 Veterans Boulevard is right across from the entrance at Lafreniere Park. They've got some of the best in-class pants, such as Apex or Defender jeans. Most comfortable boots in the market. 20% off sale this week at 5-11 by Karl Malone. Come on by and see us. And, of course, Jordan, you and Gus are going to be there doing the show live from 12 to 3 on Friday at 5-11 by Karl Malone. 6601 Veterans Boulevard. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Coach Willie Fritz from the Tulane Green Wave on ESPN New Orleans, your flagship station for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Hello, friends. This is Donnie LaRio, a candidate for state representative. I am extremely proud of my Louisiana Cajun heritage and culture. We are going to lose it forever if we don't work together to save it. District 54 is surrounded by the largest estuary system in America. I will work to develop and support legislation that will affect and protect our seafood industries. From rebuilding the oyster and crabbing industries to working towards obtaining a fair market price for our shrimpers. On October 12th, please vote for Donnie LaRio, number 88, for state representative, District 54. Paid for by Donnie LaRille.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrades 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
Hello, everybody. You're looking live at Fansville, a college football utopia.
Fansville.
Where the rivers flow with ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
Delicious.
Where every day is Saturday and everyone's a fan, even babies.
Fan babies.
And the seasons never change because the only season is college football season. Get a taste of Fansville this fall during a college football game near you. Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Grab some today.
When you're juggling multiple things just to get the job done, sometimes equipment on your work site sits idle or will be used for something else, like your skid steer being used as a bird bath or your excavator becoming a back scratcher. But idle equipment costs you and your work site time and money. which is why United Rentals is combining equipment, data, safety, and expertise to help your worksite perform better. To learn more, visit unitedrentals.com.
What's up, New Orleans? It's Matt Moscona inviting you to join me weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. for After Further Review. I make you one promise. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it weekdays on After Further Review. Saints, Tigers, Pelicans, we got it all covered weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. So tune us in and tell a friend. It's After Further Review, weekday afternoons from 3 until 6 on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
You're listening to the new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. Jay Hargrave pinch hitting for Gus Kattengill. As always, Jordan, the intern, is my sidekick. And we want to welcome into the show Coach Willie Fritz from Tulane. Coach, thanks so much for giving us a little bit of your time. I know it's busy always getting ready for an opponent in UConn, but we appreciate a few minutes of your time.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Coach, on a personal note, I want to say this. And I mean this completely. I had never heard of Willie Fritz. Several years ago, I had a friend of mine who had a daughter that went to Sam Houston State, and I'd never heard of Sam Houston State at the time. And he told me they were playing in the national championship game. And I said, I'm not doing anything. I'll watch the game with you. So we sat down, we watched the game, and the game was over. And I said, that's one of the best coach teams I've ever seen in Sam Houston State. Turned out the coach's name was Willie Fritz. That was you coaching Sam Houston State. And that was the first time I had ever heard of you. And I started following your career after that. And when Tulane signed you, I told the people at Tulane, you all have no idea what you're sitting on with a head coach. And I just wanted to tell you that I've always been a big fan of yours, and it's an honor to do an interview with you.
Well, I appreciate it. You made my day. Thank you.
Coach, that was a huge win up at Army going up to West Point, 42-33. That was one heck of a football game. And when I'm sitting there watching it, you guys come out, and not the start that you wanted. You turn the ball over, and Army comes out, throws on first down, probably caught me by off guard. And they go up 7-0, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, we're down 7-0 at West Point. This is not the way you want to start a game. But, boy, Justin McMillan and that offense comes right back down and answers and makes that game 7-7. Talk about the character and the leadership of Justin McMillan.
Well, I was really proud of Justin. You know, that first play was a replay. They pulled it and probably would have gone for 30, 40 yards. Unfortunately, we started running, he kind of knocked the ball out himself and fumbled it, and they recovered, made the long play-action pass. One of our guys is looking back in the backfield instead of looking at the man he's supposed to be covering. They got the ball down, and I hit the two-yard line and punched it in, and then Justin just recovered. He's a really mature young man. He's played a lot of football, been in a lot of systems, doesn't panic, he's just starting to get better each week. He's kind of got a season under his belt. He played six games for us last year, and now he's played five games. And he's just getting a little bit better week in, week out. And that quarterback position is so vital to your success because they handle the ball every single play, and they got to make quick, smart decisions every single play. And he does a great job of that. So we're really happy he's able to bounce back and played an excellent game for us.
Coach, that was you jumped out to the 21-7 lead after Army scored first. You guys rattled off 21 straight, jumped out 21-7. When you're playing the armed forces, you know one thing. Those guys are there all day. They're not going to quit. Army came back, got it to 21-21, but then you guys respond. Tulane comes back with the next three touchdowns, going up 42-21. It was such a game of runs. How were you able to keep those kids focused?
Well, I think we've got great leadership with our coaching staff and our upperclassmen. And these guys are hungry. They haven't had a whole lot of success. They're listening to what we're telling them. And we got a bunch of tough kids. It's a tough conference. I tell them the margin for error is very, very slim. We got to play great week in and week out and play in and play out. And, kids did it, and you know, it's when you play the armed forces, and you know, whether it's Navy or Army or Air Force, those guys are they've got a different system, and you know, they got very very tough kids, and they got a lot of them. I've never seen so many guys on a sideline in my life. I think they had 172 guys on their sideline. You know, I said, guys, it's not going to be a fight. You know, they can only put 11 of them out there. It's not going to be a free-for-all. And, you know, our kids just kept competing and fighting throughout the ball game. And, you know, defensively, a super job of playing with leverage, tackling. We held them 100 yards under their rush average. And then we had more yards rushing against them, I think, than they've given up in a long, long time, many, many years, and actually had the rushing battle. We won by 131 yards, which is unheard of against Army, and we won the time of possession, which is also another area they usually dominate. And that's a good football team. They lost in double overtime to Michigan at the Big House and should have won the game, you know, and a year ago they lost in overtime to Oklahoma. Both of them pretty fair programs, right?
So, absolutely.
We're happy about getting out of there with the W.
Yeah, Coach, you mentioned two of the stats that jumped out at me, the fact that you were able to outrush Army 324 to 193. You won the time of possession. The third one that jumped out at me was third down, and we always talk about this. If you can get off the field on third down and you can keep their defense out there on third down, Tulane 7 for 12 on third down, Army 6 for 15, that was a huge part of that win.
Really big. You know, we talked all week about, you know, four and out takeaway. We usually talk about three and out takeaway. The Army in 2018 was 31 of 36 on fourth down conversions, which far and away led the NCAA. So you know they're going to go for it, but if you can get them in a third down, in a fourth down situation that's not, you know, advantageous for them to go for it, fourth and three, fourth and four, you know, then they're going to have to punt the football. And our defense, you know, just did a great job of getting off the field, getting some minus plays, which is real difficult for them to get against them. But there was a few times they ran some different, toss plays, and our guys penetrating the backfield, and all of a sudden it's second and 18 and, you know, things like that. So, super job. And then we converted on offense. You know, as you said, I think we were 1 of 1 on fourth down, and we were 7 of 12 on third down. And you know, we call that our money down. And that's where you got to do it right then on third down, stopping them, and then also extending the series. And guys did a super job. That comes from the coordinators too. I thought Jack Curtis and the defensive staff had a phenomenal game plan put together. And we worked on it for a long time. We worked on these guys in the summer, and then we had 2 weeks to prepare. And then Will Hall and the offensive staff had a great, great game plan also that they worked on in the summer and also worked for 2 weeks on, and the kids went out and executed it.
You know, Coach, I used to always say, you know, Coach won't be happy unless he finds something to yell at us about this week. I got the feeling you got on the offense a little bit about the turnovers, huh?
Yeah, you know, we had a couple of them, and we had the one early with Justin. We had the one late where he bat snapped, and we were trying to run the clock out, and they picked it up and ran it in for a touchdown. You know, the game really should have been out of a touch for them, you know, quite a bit earlier, and, you know, we ended up having to, you know, bite our fingernails while, you know, we finished the ball game and you know, won by two possessions. But, you know, as I told the guys on Monday, you know, we're going to get into games where our margin for error is going to be very slim. And we can't have 9 penalties for 74 yards when you get in those situations. We can't be minus one in turnover takeaway. You know, we got away with it, and we've gotten away with it a few times this season. But in order to you know, beat a team that you're evenly matched with and maybe one some days you're not clicking on all cylinders, but if you're doing a good job playing disciplined football with ball security and taking the ball away, not having those pre-snap penalties, which we got to stay away from, you got a chance to still win. And you know, I don't know if I was happy, but I think it was a step in the right direction. Our guys were kind of disappointed after the game. You know, our coaches and our players, they felt like we didn't finish the way we needed to. And I had to kind of rally the troops and tell them, hey, guys, we just came in and beat an Army team that's won 15 in a row at home and hadn't lost here since 2016. So feel good about it. I like fixing things after a W rather than after an L.
Talking to Tulane head football coach Willie Fritz, and coach, you're 4-1 off to your best start since the Green Wave went undefeated in 1998. And now, to me, you guys are becoming the hunted. Since you've been here at Tulane, you've been the hunter going after the big boys. Now you're one of the big teams in the American Athletic Conference. But it just seems like you've got a team and a coaching staff that's just embracing that. They're not going to shy away from that in any way, shape, or form.
No, we're not. You know, we've got a long way to go to accomplish the goals that we're trying to accomplish here at Tulane. You know, one of the things I talked to our guys about on Monday is, you know, drown out the noise. Don't worry about all that crap. You got people patting you on the back and everything else. You know, we're not at any point in our program where we can come out and roll our B game out there and think we're going to win. We got to prepare the same way week in and week out. We got a big conference game this week at UConn. You know, this game gets over and we're playing, you know, start at 2:45 at Yeoman Stadium here Saturday. Please come on out and support us. I think if you come out, you watch the level of play in the American, you get here to Yeoman Stadium, and you see this venue that is one of the top places I've ever been to as far as watching a game. Every seat's a perfect seat. We've priced everything. You know, we got $5 tickets. We got $3 beers. That's pretty good too, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
you can't beat that.
Jump up the stand.
And look, Coach, I made the argument earlier in the year. Gus and I were having this discussion, and I said, we may have to start looking at the American Athletic Conference as being better than the Pac-12, because I've watched some of these teams in the Pac-12, and I think the American Athletic Conference can play hand-in-hand with this. You look at this team, UConn, that's coming in.
Yes.
They're 1-4, and people might look at that and say, oh, well, this is an easy win for Tulane. Well, UConn's losses are against Illinois, Indiana, Central Florida, and South Florida. They played a very tough schedule. This is not a gimme, and people need to understand that the American Athletic Conference, I've said this for a long time, they need to be moved up into and the one of the power conferences, because it's just that good of a conference.
Well, we got three teams ranked in the top 25. We've got, I think there's three other teams receiving votes, Tulane being one of them.
Should be ranked.
So it's good. It's a really, really. We got a ways to go. We're not, you know, we'll see where we're at the end of the season. But, you know, I just think for the people in New Orleans, I know there's so many things to do in this great city. But if you're a sports fan, you love football, come on out. We're going to have great weather on Saturday. We'll have a great crowd. And I'll guarantee you, you'll be able to actually watch the game and not sit up in the nosebleed sections and, you know, kind of guess what's going on down there in the field. It's pretty neat stadium if you've never been here before.
If you've never been there, just there is not one bad seat in the house. Everywhere you sit, you got a great view of the game. It is one of the best stadiums, and it's something that Tulane football has needed for a long time. But, Coach, what is it going to be like to be out there at Yeoman Stadium? I know it's been a while, but you're actually going to be coaching in a game that's going to be 70 degrees outside.
You know, I told our guys, you know, the other day we played it, maybe it got up to 65 or something like that. But, you know, those guys started acting like it was going to be too much. The guys are going to be no humidity. It's going to be nice and cool. You're going to think you died and went to heaven. And heck, we went out and practiced this morning, and it was unbelievable weather. I think it was 75, degrees this morning when we were practicing. So, you know, that'll be great. It's part of the charm in New Orleans also is the weather. Every once in a while, you get a little humidity, and I think it makes our guys tough. They're able to, you know, go out and play in whatever elements they need to go out and play in. But we have a beautiful day on Saturday, 2:45 kickoff. Hopefully, you'll be able to come out, and a lot of people will be able to come out and cheer on the Green Wave.
Well, it's 2:45 at Yeoman Stadium, Tulane versus UConn. Coach, we wish you the best of luck, and we greatly appreciate your time coming on every week and giving us some insight on the Tulane football program. Good luck this week. Got the feeling everything. You're off to an incredible year headed that way.
Well, I appreciate it. Roll wave. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Willie Fritz for the Tulane Green Wave. Sorry, Joey.
I just hope he takes, you know, look, allow some of the backups for Tulane to play. Don't, you don't have to take the 34-point underdog thing for UConn, literally. Let some of the backups play.
Look, for, I know you, for Tulane. I know UConn's had a rough year, Joey, but when I see losses to big-time programs, then it, you know, maybe to, you can't overlook this team, and I don't think Tulane will, but
American
I wouldn't
Conference
be surprised if this
cool.
is a closer game.
The American Conference is cool, bro, and I mean, I'm proud of Tulane, and now, anybody from the American Conference makes a bowl game, I'm behind them.
Basketball, football, and baseball, the American Conference is there. I mean, they've got quality teams in there, and I'll put the American Conference, American Athletic Conference up against the Pac-12 in football right now.
Yeah, but don't worry. I'm going to go follow my women's basketball for UConn. Go Tulane. I know it's my alma mater. People are going to jump up. Go Tulane.
Hour number two, sponsored by 5-11 by Carl Malone. Purpose-built gear for life's most demanding moments. Stop on by. Go see Steve Stanky, the manager over there. Have a cup of Black Rifle coffee. They sell that as a coffee of the month. They have different flavors over there. It benefits the military. Go over there, take a look at the stuff that they have, some of the best quality clothing and boots and accessories and gear for if you're an outdoorsman. This is the type of place. Met a customer over there yesterday that told me he buys one pair of pants over there at 5-11. It outlasts five or six jeans by his coworkers. He's trying to convince them to go over there and quit wasting their money. Buy quality products at 5-11 Carl Malone. Jordan and Gus will be there Friday doing the show from 12 to 3. Stop on by, put the headsets on, take a look at what they've got over there. 5-11 by Carl Malone, 6601 Veterans. Quick break. When Jordan and I come back, we will wrap up hour number two in a sports hangover. ESPN New Orleans, your flagship station for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Car shopping? You gotta go to GregLeBlancToyota.com or at the store for easy, low payments. Upgrade to the all-new 2019 Camry and get $4,500 off MSRP.
$4,500 off.
What a truck. Shop today with the biggest rebates of the year on all remaining 2019 Tundras.
Plus, big discounts.
Shop today at Greg LeBlanc Toyota, where everyone gets a great deal. Camry MSRP 37,433. Model 2550. $2,500 rebate. $2,000 discount plus TTNL.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
This is Senator Ed Price, and I am proud of the results we've accomplished in Baton Rouge. The first teacher pay raise in 10 years, increased funding for K-12 and early childhood education, TOPS fully funded. Our health passed the largest infrastructure investment in Louisiana in the past 30 years to improve our roads and bridges without raising taxes. This is Senator Ed Price, number 55 on the ballot, and I paid for this ad to ask for your vote on October 12th so we can continue the progress for Senate District 2.
Don't get fooled by the other guys. The prices are falling at Homa's Clayton Homes. Don't miss the Red Tag Blowout Sale. $10,000 discounts on any homes in stock or ordered if you have a trade. Plus, financing programs available specifically for your trades. Hometown programs continue with their single parent programs, SSI disability programs, and new home buyer programs. Homa's Clayton Homes, located on Highway 311 in Houma. Be sure to check them out on Facebook.
I'm Marla Abel. I've spent my entire career as an attorney in Lafourche Parish, representing private businesses, school districts, police officers, individuals, and even children. And now I'm running to be your next Lafourche Parish District Court judge. Our community deserves a judge who has the integrity to uphold the law and make tough decisions. And I am prepared to be that judge. I humbly ask that this Saturday, October 12th, you vote for me, Marla Abel, for Lafourche Parish District Judge. Paid for by Marla Abel for Judge Campaign Committee.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
It's that time of the year when sports are in full swing. Now with the NBA preseason underway, the Pels with a huge win over the Atlanta Hawks yesterday, 133-109. Baseball in full swing with the playoffs. No day baseball today, but the Houston Astros will be in Tampa Bay to take on the Rays, trying to eliminate the Tampa Bay Rays. That will be game four, and you can hear that right here on ESPN New Orleans 100.3 FM. You can hear that at 5:30. That game will be live on ESPN in case you're interested in catching it. The only team that has qualified is the New York Yankees. They have moved in to the American League Championship Series, and they wait the winner of the Houston-Tampa Bay Series. Braves, Cardinals, Dodgers, Nationals, they're going to tee it up tomorrow. They've got a day off to travel. They are both in Game 5s tomorrow, so a big day of baseball. Of course, the Pels with the big win, the NFL in full swing, Saints doing a lot better than a lot of people thought without Drew Brees. I know we had talked in past years about the Saints. If Drew Brees were to go down, we would be a 3-13 team, but Teddy Bridgewater is 3-3 as the Saints' backup quarterback and going into a big game against Jacksonville this week with Leonard Fournette kind of being the back that everybody thought he would be at Jacksonville. Ran for over 200 yards 2 weeks ago. Last week he was able to get over 100 against Carolina. Now he's going to go up against that Saints defensive line, and curious to see how Gardner Minshew is kind of taking the league by storm, the rookie who replaced Nick Foles. You're starting to hear, Jordan, a lot of people in Jacksonville saying that even if Nick Foles comes back, he's not getting his job back, that this is Gardner Minshew's team. Nick Foles, even though he's an NFL Super Bowl champion and MVP of the Super Bowl, kind of has had some pretty bad luck outside of that run.
Yeah, I mean, if you looked at the game this Sunday against the Panthers and the Jaguars, the Jaguars had a chance to win that game. Minshew drove him down almost 95 yards for the game-winning go-ahead touchdown. But unfortunately for the Saints, they couldn't get it done to not have all three of the NFC South teams losing besides the Saints this weekend. So, I mean, Minshew's definitely a quarterback that teams have the game plan for, and the Saints shouldn't take him lightly this weekend.
You know, it's one of the things that I really love about the Saints, and now you're starting to see it with the Pelicans also, is the character of the guys that they bring into the team. You look at the Jacksonville situation with Jalen Ramsey, who has been a problem since the year started. He's wanted to be traded. He's basically, I guess, faked an injury. There's no proof that he's even been to a doctor, but sitting on the sidelines, Jacksonville refuses to trade him. I guess they want, you know, more than teams are offering for him, but it's just a bad situation, and you just don't hear the Saints having to deal with situations like this because they bring in quality guys. And one guy that I noticed, really was kind of shocked that it came out yesterday, Benjamin Watson, former Saint tight end, was let go by the New England Patriots. And basically, Belichick said today, we don't have a spot, that they got an exemption to sign him because he was going to be suspended for the PEDs. And the exemption's up this week, and he has to either move him onto a roster or cut him. Belichick basically said, we don't have a roster spot for him. I know the Saints have had some trouble with finding someone outside of Michael Thomas on the receiver. I just wonder if they would consider bringing Benjamin Watson back as a tight end, because you could now run some double tight end sets with Benjamin Watson and Jared Cook. Might give Sean Payton another weapon. You think the Saints might reach out to him?
No, I think you picked up Jared Cook for a reason, and you gave him his money for a reason. So, I mean, I don't see us going back. I think he just goes into retirement now, and I really don't see us, the Saints, going back to Benjamin Watson.
Well, I'll tell you this, if you were to see an injury to one of the tight ends, because the Saints only have two tight ends, it's Josh Hill's and Jared Cook. They went basically with only two, where usually they do keep a third tight end. I just thought maybe it was a good fit and they might consider bringing him back. But again, you know, you've already got Drew Brees tying up a spot because he's injured, and you haven't put him on IR because you're expecting him back probably sooner rather than later, and that's tying up a roster spot. So I can see your point. You probably wouldn't want to tie up another roster spot with a guy that wouldn't be getting on the field. You know, who would you have to move to inactive? Because right now the defense is playing way too well. That defensive line is playing is solid. You've got great rotation there. You probably don't want to break up the chemistry that this team has right now. But if you were to get, God forbid, an injury to Jared Cook or to Josh Hill, I think they probably would reach out to a Benjamin Watson. So that's going to kill our number two off for us. We thank 511 by Carl Malone as our sponsor of the second hour, purpose-built gear for life's most demanding moments. They have a 20% sale off this week, Friday through Sunday. Jordan and Gus will be live at 511 on Friday, 12 to 3, doing the show live from there. Come on by, put the headsets on. Give us your take on the Saints, LSU, Tulane, Nichols. Tell us how you feel about the Pelicans. Take a look around. Get some free Black Rifle coffee while you're there. Some of the best quality clothing you're going to see in the business. Quick break, and when we come back, Jordan and I with our number three, we're going to pick up some Pelicans talk and have Jake Madison at 2:15 on ESPN. The Sports Hangover, 100.3 FM.